On today's podcast, Tyler and I talk all about the things people love hearing two men talk about. Sports. Disappointing losses by UK and U of L. Pleasant wins by the Chargers and the Jets. A sweep of the Mets by the Braves. A few races. Weekend updates including seeing Bill Burr live at the Yum Center. And yet another wedding. All that and more on another exciting edition of the Life After College podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode number 22 of the Life After College podcast. I'm your host, Austin Zershmi, joined again by my co-host, Tyler Brockman. And we got a crazy sports-related episode for you guys today. We're talking college football. We're talking NFL football. We're talking baseball. We're talking two different forms of racing. We got some controversy in the fishing world. We got tons of stuff going on. But with that, first things first, T-Brock, why don't you go ahead and tell me, how was your week? Flag football going okay? Studying on the teeth?
No, I thought we were going to have a rough week to get numbers out to the game. You know, we had a couple guys on our team become fathers. You know, whoa. we got big moves happen on our team. So we were going to be short a couple people. Another guy got married, so he was out. But we were able to add a couple new guys to the team and, you know, rolled through like normal. I don't know how much we won by, probably like 38-0 or something like that. The other team's quarterback I don't know. He was a guy who liked to talk trash, but you could tell that he was like, you know, he's the type of guy to get mad when things don't go well and get mad at his own team. I don't know. First play of the game, he threw a pick six. So I think I don't know if he like is coming from, you know, being the backup quarterback at his high school to now this or what, but yeah, he struggled. I enjoyed him struggling.
Mm-hmm. You got like some sacks on him?
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, I mean, he was, you know, he was talking trash at the, like, right from the beginning. He was, you know, getting angry about every little thing, even though, you know, he started out putting his team, you know, in a hole. You know, he was complaining like when we were, you know, pulling flags that, you know, we were like wrapping up and tackling or something. So, you know, then the next time I'm out there on offense, I catch a pass, goes for like 30 yards or something. I don't know.
T-Brock with the yak?
No. It was like mostly after the catch. But, you know, then I, you know, somebody pulls my flag or whatever. So I just had to, you know, holler out, let them know that they were wrapping up, tackling me. Best part is when all the guys on his team are, you know, they see how things are going. So they see that, you know, he's the one making all the mistakes.
Yeah.
And so we kind of got them to turn on him pretty early in the game. And
so, hey, yeah. Don't block him. Don't block me this time. I'm going to go right past you.
Yeah, I mean, they were calling out the routes for us. Like, hey, it's going to be a slant. Just go ahead and jump it.
It's like, yeah. Like that scene from The Longest Yard.
Yeah. So, yeah, that one went well. We've got a bye week before we play the last game of the regular season. So give us some time to kind of rest up a little bit. If we go 4-0, I think that we have to win by like, I don't know, 30 something points to be able to be the number one overall seed, because Michael Vick's Dog Pound, they're pretty good. So they've got a pretty big point differential right now.
Yeah. But who knows?
But we'll see. I mean, yeah.
You never know how it's going to be. Maybe they played some scrubs or some teams that ain't used to that style of football. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. So we'll see, you know. Either way, though, we're looking at a winning season so far and maybe a good seed for the tournament.
Mm-hmm. So you're 3-0 right now?
3-0 right now. Yep.
Not too shabby. You catch any touchdowns, or are you all just
I had one
over the middle?
I think I had a touchdown and a extra point. I kind of rotate on offense, depending on like how many players we have. On offense, I kind of rotate and take the center role like every other series.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have our center block. We have like a right and a left offensive lineman that do the blocking. So the center just kind of snaps it and then kind of
turns
goes out short. Yeah. A little short route. So left or right.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I was there throwing it to you.
Oh yeah.
Your quarterback at that connection that we had.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Our starting quarterback, he was out last game. So, good though. We got a solid backup. So that's nice. You never know when someone may not be available. It's good to have another quarterback option.
Next man up mentality.
That's what we got on our team. You got to have that when people just start having babies and getting married.
Mm-hmm. So unexpected too.
Well,
you just never know when those things can just pop up on a weekend.
I guess.
It's not like you have year to plan it or whatever.
Sadly not.
I know some people will move their weddings if it's on a big college football weekend. Kind of like how the wedding that I was at on Friday, they did it Friday. Shout out to Ryan Roby and Alyssa. I guess Roby now. I didn't know her last name before. But got married Friday at the Fraser Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Friday at 4. Kind of a weird time for, you know, a wedding during the week. Got off work a little early to head over there, make sure I wasn't late. Very quick wedding up top. You know those things. I know when you're in it, it may seem like they last forever, but whole thing may have been, I want to say, 5 minutes at the most, and then break to take pictures, and then, you know, go to the reception. But it was on the rooftop of the Fraser. Pretty cool. Nice day, a little windy, but it was all right. And I kind of liked having it there because right after when the wedding was finished, the whole, I guess, basically first floor exhibit still open. So me and Megan were going through and looking at the different exhibits on our way out, which is pretty cool. I'm a fan of museums. I don't think they get the respect. You know, SeaWorld, you know, like aquariums, zoos,
mm-hmm.
museums, even the Science Center. I'll go to the Science Center right now. I don't care that I'm not, you know, 8 years old going in that little bubble tower. I'll go in at 25.
I want to play on the little, like, sand table, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, blowing up air on those, like, balls or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watching the water flow through some, I don't know, little tubes or whatever.
I'll take a picture of that right now. I want to see it. Why do kids get to have all the fun? Overall, pretty good wedding. Thursday, too. Me and old Steve, you know, buddy Steve.
Shout out, Steve.
Went to go see Bill Burr at the Yum Center. That's the second comedian me and Steve went and saw. We saw Sam Morrell a couple weeks ago. Bill Burr now. Went to Mile Wide for some brews before. And I think, you know, I've had some craft stuff, some IPAs here and there. I just don't think I'm a fan of them. You know, go to these breweries, get their local blonde ales or pilsners, and I think I'm just a Miller Lite guy. You know, I try these, and it's just not appealing, which sucks because I like the vibe of a brewery. I like going somewhere to just, you know, chill out, drink some. But I wish they had like some normal stuff on tap. Then we'd have a hell of a time.
You know they can't be doing that, though.
Yeah. I mean, I wish they could, like, hide it or something. Like, instead of, like, Miller Lite, this is, fuck, I don't know, another undercover name, a GTLF.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, they just...
Like, wink, wink.
They code name, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a business idea for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll have to, like, look up the code names before you go. So people don't think that you're a wimp not drinking a Brapple or, you know, a vibrant purple.
You know, Dingleberry, IPA, Sour, Witz Beer, you know, something like that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
But, I don't know, I've been to, like, that Fox, then on Frankfurt Avenue, what is that called? I know it's like Fox something.
Gallant Fox.
Yeah, I've been there a couple times, and you know it's the same thing. Manhattan Project. I think I just had Miller Lite there, so
that was not a brewery.
Yeah, but you get the idea. Yeah, just straight Miller for me, please.
Now, I've been to like 10-20, and they've got some cocktails as well. So you know, if the weird brews are not your thing.
Yeah, but it's also like 2-3 times as expensive per drink.
Yeah, but you don't need as many.
Fair. Yeah, I don't know. Shit just adds up. I was never like, even when I like turned 21, like drinking didn't appeal to me just because of like how expensive it is. And dude, it is expensive. Like
it is.
For like 2 drinks, you know, you're going to be spending 20 at the minimum. And that's like a decent size, like dinner and, you know, soda fountain drink or whatever.
Yeah, I think I care more about the food, you know? So yeah. I'm always thinking about the money. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, is this drink really worth like a whole meal? I don't know.
That's how I look at it. How many box combos is this worth?
Plenty.
Yeah, but Bill Burr's funny guy at the he had Joe Bartnick open for him, and you know, Bill is just a professional. He's you can tell the difference between him and the opener, even though the opener has like been with him for years, but Bill is just like so comfortable in a crowd and can riff off whatever. It's probably because of, you know, podcasting for 10 or so years, talking to himself, but can just like go on tangents about whatever, and it can always be funny. And it doesn't like sound like robotic to where he's going like joke to joke to joke. It's like flowing, and then sometimes he'll steer this way instead of this way, depending on the night. Bring up this if he's in this city, you know, it's just very well done. He's definitely one of the best in the game for sure. So outside of football, did you do anything special this past week?
See, you know, at school I was kind of doing some stuff on oral surgery rotation. It's just a very tiring week, you know. But it's kind of fun doing something a little different. Let's see. Had some birthday dinners this week. Just some casual places. Boomba's, Mike Lennig's, Buca di Beppo. So, busy week of eating out, but good mix of things.
Very nice. I thought you were going to keep on going, but...
I don't know. That's pretty much it. Got my hair cut today, so I'm feeling fresh.
No, Fuck. No, like, tires going down or battery dead or nothing?
No, and I still haven't got that one tire fixed. The, like, sensor hasn't gone off again. So I'm just going to pretend like it's not a big deal until it does.
Yeah. Guess we'll see. So you still got that nail in there?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have like any soapy water with me out there when I was checking on it, you know, to see if it bubbled up. I just had like an old water bottle in the car. And so I was pouring it on that. I didn't see anything bubble, but, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it's like not all the way through the tread.
Yeah. Guess we will see, huh?
If you see me on the side of the road, you know, don't worry about pulling over and helping me. I'll be fine.
You got that pump in there?
I got that pump in there. It'll get me to the next stop.
All about point A to point B. Diving right into segment number two, like I said before, we are talking a crazy, what the hell. Speaking of sports, Cordell Patterson is out for a couple weeks. Ooh, got him on one of my teams.
That's tough.
And speaking of ruling people out, Tua is not going to play in week 5.
Shout out Teddy Two Gloves, taking over for the Miami Dolphins. A true professional.
The ideal backup quarterback.
Hey, he's a starting quarterback.
Okay.
I mean, look, he wasn't the problem last year in Denver. He wasn't the problem on the Panthers. You know, I was hoping that something would have worked out for him, but the Saints stepped in and went 5-0.
Are people writing Teddy off like they did Geno?
Oh, I mean, I don't think people are writing him off because
he ain't going to write back.
Every time he comes on the field or whatever from one of these backup, like stepping into the roles, he does good enough to where it's like, oh my gosh, he didn't just blow, you know, away the game. Yeah. And that's the other thing. Everyone's like, oh, isn't it just amazing that he's even on the field? And it's like, yes, but like, you know, I think he's more than that. Like, that was a good story for like a year or two, but like, you know, I think he's proven that he's back and he belongs. And I mean, he's not going to be, you know, in the MVP conversation ever, but like he can manage a team, manage a game. You know, he's pretty serviceable. Right. He knows all these systems. He's a very smart player. So, I mean, I guess, yeah, do all those attributes make him a great backup? Yes. But, you know, I don't know. You look around the league, and there's a lot of teams I think he could be starting for.
Yeah. Every team needs a backup, though.
Well, and I'm happy to see him back home in Miami. You know, he goes and he visits his old high school a lot, helps them out. So I think that that's good for them.
Mm-hmm. I think people are still throwing up about that injury up in Minnesota.
It was a pretty bad one.
But with that, so jumping from reading the bottom line on the Monday Night Football game. So we had a ugly performance out of both UK and U of L late in the games. I'll go ahead and start with UK first. That loss was I don't want to say season ending, but you're not going to do anything special this season type of loss. They win that game, ranked number 7 over number 14 on the road. You're, you know, kind of putting yourself in driver's seat to be kind of top 5 in the nation for the first time probably ever. You have a solid chance going into the back half of the season with a real shot at maybe playing for an SEC title, and then who knows what happens, maybe potentially go to the playoff if you end up undefeated. But with that loss, I doubt any, you know, one loss teams will go to the final SEC or playoff, especially Kentucky. So that kind of ruined their end of the season hopes. I'm sure they'll get a solid bowl game, but nothing that they didn't do, you know, last season. So it's great to build off a solid double digit season win last year, but that's all they'll do for this season as well. And they had a real shot. Will Levis played a little ugly. It was kind of ugly for a few periods of that game. We had, let's see, a missed field goal. I think they missed like maybe two extra points, had a safety, fumbled. They got tripped up on a punt return or a kickoff return that would have been a touchdown that would have gave them the lead. And then have a huge pass to go down to the like 10-yard line with a minute left. And you have a chance to get yourself in field goal range, or you're already in field goal range, maybe potentially get a touchdown and take the victory. But at least you stay in field goal range and, you know, go into overtime and then see what happens. But you fumble, trying to fight for extra yardage at the end of the game and lose by 3 on the road. So pretty brutal loss. Probably should have won. But, you know, it sucks that you have, you know, high hopes for an undefeated season, maybe potentially going somewhere crazy as a, you know, the University of Kentucky. But that will have to wait until next season. And while all that was going on, U of L was in a dogfight of their own. T-Rock, did you get to see any of it?
Unfortunately, I got to see all of it.
Yeah, so build off that.
I mean, when you were looking, you know, preseason-wise at U of L's schedule, the first, you know, half of the season was a much easier road than the second half of the season. So, you know, if you're someone, let's just say Scott Satterfield, I feel like you got to be looking at that and trying to take advantage and start the season out like 5-1, you know, before the bye week rolls around, because you know you've got just a slate of ranked opponent after ranked opponent after ranked opponent, you know, at the end of the season. Well, didn't take advantage. You know, like I said, after week one, I'm not going to judge too much off of 1 week. You know, that's crazy. People were judging. Then week two hits, a little bit of bounce back, give you a little bit more confidence. You know, you go on the road, get a victory. Week three hits, starts to remind you, oh yeah, this is the way it's been for the last few years. Can't win these close games. Then, you know, you go out, destroy a lesser opponent. You think, okay, maybe, you know, you don't know what to think. Well, now we're 5 games in and we're 2-3. You know, we should be, you know, you'd like to see us 4-1 or something, you know, maybe with the chance to go 5-1. I don't know. I say all this just to ramble on. I mean, it's not looking good for, you know, Scott's future. Because, you know, I'm not the guy saying fire him right now, because I don't think that does you any good. But I don't see where you're going to recover this season, you know, when you're going up against, you know, Wake Forest and Clemson and NC State and Kentucky. I mean, you haven't shown anything in the last few seasons to show that you can, you know, flip things around and the road's just getting harder and harder. Like, where are you going to find, you know, 6 wins on the season, 7 wins on the season? Like, it's just not happening.
Mm-hmm. Is this his fourth year?
This is his fourth year, yes.
It's been there a while.
Yeah, I mean, he came in, had a really good first year. But, you know, when you're looking back on it, you know, the criticism now is that he did that with basically not the players that he was recruiting. So, you know, maybe he can coach fine, but the talent on the team just, I don't know, it's not to where it needs to be to beat the teams that you're trying to beat and expecting to beat. So that's what's unfortunate, I think, because that's not really like a quick fix.
Yeah, I remember when I saw something on Twitter, one of the radio guys was saying, you know, if this team ends up bouncing back, finish 6-6, pushes Scott out for another year, and then I feel like that kind of tells the fans that, you know, this is who we are. We are a 500 level, you know, football program. We're going to play 500 ball year in, year out. Never be, you know, too high, too low, just right in the middle, competing for a bowl game for that 6 wins. And then who sees, you know, what happens. But he was really saying UofL is a premier school and deserves to be, you know, ranked and, you know, fighting and potentially beating good teams, maybe playing some great games, kind of like what they did in 2016 and 2015, years like that. And, you know, I remember saying before that it may take 8 years to really build a program inside and out, like how it's been done with Stoops over at Kentucky. But I think maybe the AD or the athletic department in UofL maybe not have the same patience that they showed with Stoops at Kentucky. So we'll have to see what they do later this year, if they decide to keep him for the whole season. Maybe, who knows if he's, you know, lost the locker room or something. I don't know. Maybe they don't want to play for him, kind of like what they did with Chris Mack with the basketball team. But, you know, we won't know until that time comes. But, you know, there's some decent coaching, you know, prospects out on the market. You know, maybe you go Scott Frost, who got fired at Nebraska, maybe try him out. Herm Edwards left Arizona State, but that doesn't really look like it might be much better. You have, you know, Urban Meyer from, you know, he could, depending on how you want your morals to be, he could definitely get you another prestigious program. And so we'll just have to wait and see. You liking any of those prospects?
No, I don't think any of those are realistic.
None of them are realistic?
No.
Who is realistic? Like some offensive coordinator at James Madison?
No, you aren't getting an offensive coordinator from there. I mean, maybe a coordinator from, I don't know, a successful D1 FBS program. But I don't know where you go. I mean, you hire the search firm, and the search firm tells you who's your best shot.
Mm-hmm. But from our depressing Saturday afternoon college football games, we got a pretty successful Sunday afternoon, if I do say so myself. I think you'll say the same thing. Jets and Chargers,
yep,
both took home a victory. I think they're back to even, both teams at a 2-2. So playing 500 ball. Chargers had aspirations to be a great team this year. Beat up on a very poor Houston Texans team, and they almost let it slip away. Classic Chargers fashion. Got real conservative. We were up 27-7. End up being like a 6-point game in the fourth quarter. And then finally, you know, kick a field goal or score a late touchdown, get a stop, and then end up winning 34-24. But it definitely should not have been that close. But, you know, they almost let it slip away, but you got to win. Hopefully Keenan Allen returns next week along with J.C. Jackson. Bosa's still out for 8-10. Maybe Rashawn Slater comes back by the end of the year. Make a push. Who knows? But really need to get Keenan Allen back. Maybe that can open up the offense. Austin Ekeler finally scored some touchdowns. Gave him the ball a lot more than what we have in the first couple games. Don't know why they didn't, you know, run it through him or at least give it to him more often than what they were doing before. But he scored 3 touchdowns, had some solid runs. Big fantasy day from him. Got the win, and then we'll see what happens next week. T-Rock, how was your Jets game?
Jets game was nice, you know. They first game back with Zach Wilson. You know, I've said before, I'm not sold on him being, you know, the savior of the franchise or anything. But it was nice, I think, as a team to see Joe Flacco not throwing 60 passes. That was nice. I don't think Zach Wilson did anything crazy. You know, he threw a couple interceptions. He did catch a touchdown pass, had a nice gritty. Go ahead, check the highlight reel for it.
That wasn't the boot scooting boogie?
No, that one wasn't a bad gritty. Like, you know, 7 out of 10. Pretty little above.
A white guy than, gritty. Better than Mac Jones?
Better than Mac Jones. And who was the guy who did it like week one?
Mike Gesetzky, the tight end for the Dolphins.
Yes.
Did you see his?
Yeah, his was terrible.
He rushed. He said he was scared.
Yeah, he was just running around. He said he had to practice in front of the mirror some more before he tried it again. But no, I mean, I know Pittsburgh's not like, you know, probably a Super Bowl hopeful, you know, team, but you know, you still went on the road, got a win. Another, you know, late game drive. So that's good to see. Extended the ball over the plane to get that touchdown instead of just – I was worried that they were just going to kind of start playing it safe and go for the field goal, tie it up, send it to overtime. But it really seemed like they were trying to go get the win. So they'll play the Dolphins next with Teddy. So I want to see, you know, Teddy do well. But
you're going to be wearing a Teddy jersey watching that game?
I don't know. Maybe I'll have to. But, yeah, I think they're, you know, they're still set pretty well to be in the hunt, you know, come week 15, 16, 17. So that's all I can ask for right now.
Yeah. It may come down to us, Jets Chargers, for that last wild card spot. Who knows?
Sure could.
May the best man win in that one. So started off kind of depressing Saturday, kind of sad Sunday. Got up Sunday night, was magical. The Braves had a weekend series with the Mets, the biggest series of the year. All coming down to this, we were one game out from the NL East title. And had the Mets in Atlanta Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Swept them all 3 games. Finished the series with a 2-game lead with 3 games to go. The magic number is now 1. meaning the Braves win one game or the Mets lose one game. We now own the tiebreaker. We win the division title. We get that first round bye. That'll be important and puts us on the opposite side of the Dodgers in the playoffs. So it's now looking like the Mets are going to be the ones that will be playing in the wild card round and then playing the Dodgers if they were to win that. And we would not be playing the Dodgers until the championship series. So that is very solid. They went in, took care of business. Dansby Swanson, Matt Olson, Austin Riley all had home runs throughout the series against, you know, Jacob deGrom, Max Scherzer, and alike from the Mets. Solid series so far. Playing the Marlins right now, hoping to finish up with at least one win in the next three games to clinch it. But we had our guest on last week, Mr. Garrett Wilson, big Mets fan. Me and him were going back and forth talking trash before the series last Monday. And he said there was a 0% chance. He emphatically put 0% chance that the Mets were going to lose the division title to the Braves. And wouldn't you know it, they collapse in classic Mets fashion. Braves coming in hot, winning 100 games, going into the playoffs, playing some of their best baseball. I think when they get it together and they lock in, they can beat any team, even the Dodgers, even the Astros, like they did last season. And I'm excited to help cheer my way and defend that title that they won last season. This is kind of like my first pro experience having, you know, a championship team. And for them to not have that hangover and be ready to go back-to-back is pretty cool, knowing that I don't have to wait, you know, another decade for another competitive team. I know Kentucky won the NCAA title back in 2012 when I was an eighth grader. And with kind of Cal, I kind of thought they would be in the hunt for a championship every year, and we haven't really made any big noise like that in a while. So these championships come few and far between. When you got a solid team, be sure to take everything in the moment, because you never know when it'll happen again. I mean, Seattle just went to the playoffs. They just clinched a playoff spot for the first time in 20 years. So don't take it for granted. There's people out there that will never see their team win a championship. And you know, that's kind of sad when you think about it. But I mean, entering my prime of my life, most likely, age-wise, if I was an athlete, I would be getting my, you know, max contract. Max
contract, yeah.
But I'm just a back office consultant. No max contracts over here. Maybe we'll see what happens in November in my review. I'll have to get maybe Lamar's mom to come help me out in these meetings. Because, you know, price of the brick going up
every week.
But, yes, yeah, solid weekend for the Braves. Very excited to watch them again. Sunday morning, before all this magic was happening, we had the F1 race, and I'll be honest, I didn't see a lot of it for some reason. As a damn fire truck goes by.
Maybe it'll go past me next.
So, T-Brock, did you watch any of the F1 race?
Yeah, so F1 this past week was in Singapore. This is kind of when, you know, starting this race is when Max could technically go ahead and clinch the driver's championship from this point forward through the rest of the season. There was rain involved, always kind of adds some excitement, a little chance of luck, those sorts of things. This one's a street circuit, so it can be kind of hard to get a lot of passing. But every time they've gone there, there's been at least a safety car once. And, you know, with the rain, that just kind of increases the chances. So I had a lot of hope for it. It started out, or the race started later than planned because of the rain, which I wasn't really a fan of. You know, they say the best way to dry the track is to get a bunch of those cars and drive them around the track, and they, you know, spray up the water and all that. But I guess, you know, they were looking at safety or whatever. And
yeah, screw that.
Yeah, so they delayed the start by over an hour. The real unfortunate thing is that it was supposed to start at 8 a.m., so I woke up at 8 a.m.
And then, I was ready.
Yeah, then I could have, you know, had an extra hour of sleep, but they didn't think about fans like me. But yeah, so the first, I don't know, half of the race, it was kind of boring. There was, you know, some failures, retirements, whatever. But it wasn't any, like, crazy impact. And then, you know, since it had quit raining, you know, once the cars drive around the track enough, it becomes that time to transition from the wet tires to the dry tires. But those slick tires, they just have no grip when you do get into a wet patch. So that's always kind of an exciting point. And that point came, and then I feel like you just know that that's going to end up, you know, somebody's going to lose control, crash. It happened. It benefited the McLarens. Shout out Danny Rick, moving up from P16 to P5. Good finish for him. But he was still out when that happened, so then he got a nice quick pit stop. But yeah, it was just kind of a little boring at the beginning. I don't know if I was still tired or what. But then the excitement really ramped up. Max did not clinch the Drivers' Championship. So we'll move on to the Japanese Grand Prix at Suzuka this Sunday. And I'm going to go ahead and throw out my prediction. I think he will clinch the Drivers' Championship this next race.
Yeah, and if people remember from last season, it went down to the last race on the last lap to decide between Max and Lewis. They were neck and neck, tied even going into the final race. 1-2 on the final restart. Safety car comes out. They have one lap to make their dreams, you know, come true. And Lewis started on first, and Max ended up passing them in a DRS zone on the last lap in one of the final corners and won the championship, and then has, you know, taken off this season. Is probably most likely going to go back to back. The Mercedes have been not as dominant as they have been in years past. It's kind of been all Red Bull. Even though Max didn't win, I think he finished like eighth or something. The other Red Bull driver, Checo, ended up winning this race. And, you know, up to Japan here next, and we'll likely see the crowning of Max for the second year in a row.
Yeah, and even, you know, if he clinches it next race or if he doesn't, there's still some good races after that, and still some good battles. You know, Mercedes, like you mentioned, they kind of are not as strong this season, but they're making a charge back for second in the Constructors' Cup against Ferrari that I think could be pretty interesting. And then with their good finish this past weekend, McLaren just took fourth place back from Alpine. So there's always plenty of drama to go on in these races, and people are, you know, racing for their careers, really. You know, there's not a whole lot of people, I think, who have, like, that guaranteed contract. You know, I mean, they've got contracts, but, you know, there's not – that many, you know, LeBron's type people who will definitely have a seat wherever. Yeah. So people are always, you know, racing for their careers as well.
You know, every year it seems like, I mean, I probably think there's probably, well, there's 20 seats, and I think maybe 5 or 6 drivers are locked in and year out.
Yeah, I mean, there's more than that. A season or two ago, there was a lot of people whose contracts had come up at the end of that year. There's more people locked in. There's only a few open spots coming up for next year. It's just a little bit of a game of musical chairs, you know. Maybe 3 spots open, but 5, 6, 7 drivers in competition form. So we'll see what happens.
Right, yeah. And then with that morning race ending, Sergio Perez took home the W. We had an afternoon race in the biggest track in the NASCAR circuit, Talladega 2.66 mile super speedway down in Alabama. 2 o'clock start time. This next gen car, I guess it's now what, Gen 7, since it is the now gen, not the next gen. It's not really doing too hot on the tracks that made NASCAR so great. You would sit through and be fine with these boring races at like these mile and a half cookie cutter tracks, because these super speedways, the short tracks, would produce awesome racing all the time. And with this car, it's making the mile and a halves, which make up a majority of the schedule, the best racing. And it's making, you know, these super speedways, the short tracks that make, you know, everybody a fan of the sport, making the races rather unentertaining. And I kind of saw that again here with this one. There was no really big crash. I know a lot of people watch super speedway races for a big crash, or, you know, 3 or 4 big crashes. It's all about, you know, endurance. Can you make it through all the crashes and be there at the end? I think there was only a few guys that maybe got caught up in something small in the start of the race. Usually at Talladega, in the previous car, the last 15, 20, 30 laps, you're looking at 4 wide through the whole track, bunch of pushing and shoving, beating and banging. And that's kind of like where wrecks start to happen. This whole race was really just 2x2, you know, inside line, outside line, kind of back and forth, just the whole race. And it kind of made it to be, kind of look like they were just riding around for, you know, a couple hours, and then last lap came, and then the second place guy makes a move and gets pushed to the win. And, you know, I don't think that puts on a really good show, especially at one of the premier tracks that people should love to watch. I know going to the race is a different thing altogether, especially at Talladega. You know, you rent out a camper, you camp out in the infield, and you have a hell of a weekend. It didn't even matter if they probably even raced on Sunday. The people would have had a hell of a time. But from the fan perspective, watching on TV, I was kind of displeased with how it looked. I hope they fix the car, fix the package, whatever, to where it runs better on short tracks and super speedways. The package and car is perfect for mile and a halves, which make up a majority of the schedule. But previous cars have had the best racing on the super speedways, on the short tracks, and this car is just not doing it. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not an engineer. Like I said before, I'm a back office consultant making league minimum. So I don't make the big bucks to make that decision to run the test to see how to make the racing better. more visually appealing, appealing to both the fans, the casuals, the people that love the sport, and the drivers and the teams themselves, have them race something that they want to race. But hopefully they get it fixed by next year with this car. A lot of off-season testing. I'm hoping, you know, maybe with increased funding, before they used to have practice and qualifying for all these tracks. Now you're not really seeing a whole lot of practice. Maybe they go back to having, you know, small amounts of practice every week. Maybe they can dial the cars back in better. But who knows? Did you watch the race? What'd you think of it?
I just watched a little bit of it. Kind of like you were saying, it wasn't the most exciting. There wasn't really that big one, you know, like there typically was. I just didn't see the, like real motivation from the drivers, that like desperation to, you know, feel like they had to make those moves, which, you know, I mean, it is what it is.
Right. It is what it is, Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are entering segment number 3, and each podcast we have these same segments. In the end of the episode, we have our random question, we got some recommendations, we got our tweets of the week, and we finish strong with Tyler's quote of the week. But first things first, we got our random question, and this week's random question was actually brought to you guys by the co-host Tyler Brockman. So shout out Tyler, everybody clap it up for him contributing to the script.
Clap it up, clap it up.
T-Brock said, for our random question, what would be your ideal dessert item, dish, whatever? You at a restaurant, or maybe you're at the house, you can make something, you can order something, whatever. What is your ideal dessert plate? T-Brock, go.
I've been thinking about it and didn't have to think too long. I want a nice cut of tiramisu. And to go alongside that, I want a nice chocolate chip ice cream with the good chocolate chunks, like the grater style, you know, the chewy chocolate chunks.
The big
but
ones.
I want that. Yeah, I want the ice cream base to be a good vanilla. You know, a lot of times when you've got a chocolate chip ice cream, it's just like a little sweet cream base. No, I want a good vanilla flavor. I want good chocolate chunks, and I want a nice cut of tiramisu with, you know, well dunked, you know, very. Very strong flavor tiramisu.
You want any whipped cream on that?
No whipped cream necessary.
No chocolate syrup?
Fudge? It's not a chocolate syrup type of thing. It's more of a chocolate shavings over top, the cocoa powder, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay, okay. Marshmallow cream, anything else on it?
I mean, now you're getting disrespectful. Marshmallow cream? Come on now. I'm not at a campfire.
I don't know. People love that stuff at Graters. They would get that pineapple syrup. Ugh.
I've never tried that one. I have gotten the peanut butter topping before at Graters, and that's not bad.
Yeah, I probably would never get it.
I mean, it depends on what you're putting it on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Nah. I like all different kinds of desserts. I don't discriminate. But me, as a frail man, you know, I don't need a lot of maybe a certain kind, like what I did back in the day. But I do like to have that taste of a lot of different things. I'm thinking of like a classic dessert sampler. That's what I'm going with. Maybe a small little scoop of like maybe a cookies and cream ice cream, or maybe like a just a vanilla, like you said before. maybe just like a strong vanilla, nothing on it. Maybe go like a small hot fudge brownie on the side. Maybe do like a little half slice of a New York cheesecake. You can throw some fruit on there if you're feeling froggy. Maybe a little side dish of whipped cream, homemade whipped cream. But I think that's like the holy trinity, the brownie, the cheesecake, the ice cream. A little sampler going on. You take a spoonful of this, spoonful of that, throw it all in your mouth, and now you got a party. But I think you can't go wrong with something like that. Now, I know that's kind of probably cheating the system. You probably wouldn't think, oh, a sampler? Well, I'd like to have apple pie and scoop ice cream and some s'mores on the side. But, you know, whatever. This is my dish. I went, you know, they need to have like a Fazoli's type dessert route restaurant where you go in. Instead of getting the classic sampler that has the Alfredo, the meat sauce, the lasagna, you get something with like a scoop of ice cream, a brownie, a cheesecake, maybe a piece of pie, you know, call it the dessert sampler or something. I don't know. I don't make these decisions.
We don't have to.
We don't have to. But that's what we got to work with. We got a tiramisu with chocolate chip ice cream with a vanilla base and then a classic dessert sampler. Solid choice, is not gonna lie. I think I've only had tiramisu a handful of times. Is that the coffee one?
The
coffee
cake? Yeah, you take the little like lady fingers and you dip them in espresso and then you layer that with like the like cream and then more of those and then more cream and like dust them with some cocoa powder, you know, maybe top it with a little shaved chocolate. It's very, you know, chocolatey coffee type thing, which, you know, I don't drink coffee. I'm not a big coffee guy, but tiramisu, it hits.
You got an ideal spot for this?
Let's see.
Where's the best tiramisu?
I mean, I need to try it at some more places. No. I've never had homemade tiramisu.
So, no, actually, I've never had tiramisu at all. I mean, I just thought it looked good.
You got to get it from, you know, a nice Italian restaurant.
Vincenzo's?
I've had it from Valare. They have a good one. I need to see if DeFabio's over by us has
that place is gas.
Yeah, we need to make it a trip back over there. So maybe we'll have to see if they got some tiramisu. Give them a try. If you're kind of wanting to try some good tiramisus, though, a tiramisu like Trifle, Sweet Surrender has that, and it's pretty good. You know, their kind of take on it. The gelato shop, they've got a tiramisu gelato a lot of times. Gelato Gilberto's. Yep. Yeah, a lot of times they have a tiramisu gelato. So that's kind of a nice, you know, like I was saying, you know, I want the tiramisu with some ice cream. That just kind of combines it. So it's a nice option for you if you want to try that out.
Sounds delicious, T. Brock. We're going to jump now into our recommendations. I'll finish up this one. So last week I probably finished the 10-episode miniseries on Netflix called Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. I don't know what it is, but I love learning and watching these serial killer stuff. I've seen all the Jeffrey Dahmer stuff, the John Wayne Gacy's, the Ted Bundy's, all the other serial killers. So they have the Richard Ramirez, the Unabomber, like all these crazy people. I just love learning about them and hearing the story, hearing, you know, how it all went down, why they are the way they are. A lot of people were going crazy over this, saying it was too, you know, graphic or whatever. I, on the other hand, I mean, I didn't really see, I think it maybe because I already kind of knew a lot of what was going on with Dahmer, kind of like knew the whole story. So I wasn't really learning anything in particular. So I was kind of watching it for entertainment, and it was pretty good. I wouldn't say it was the best one, maybe because it was kind of like a live action remake of his story. It wasn't really like his interviews, like his voice. It was, you know, Evan Peters played Jeffrey Dahmer, and it was, you know, reenactments of things and maybe, you know, slightly dramatizing certain stuff. So maybe that's kind of like where it lost me. I'm more into like what actually happened, who was actually involved, things of that nature. But overall, it's pretty good. Definitely worth a watch. It is earning the recommendation for me. And then I think at the end of the month, there's actually the Jeffrey Dahmer tapes that are going to come out on Netflix as well. So be on the lookout for that, potentially coming on a later recommendation later this month. So we'll see. T-Brock, what do you got this week?
This week, my recommendation, you know, if you've been paying attention, stepping outside lately, you know, it's getting to be that time of year where it's great for, you know, a little bonfire, a little fire pit action. Let's see, what day was it? I guess Saturday night, we went over to a friend's house, had a little fire pit action. It was great. Some snacks, you know, some good company. And not too cold to where you have to be, like, standing right on the fire. But, you know, not too hot where you don't mind sitting around it. It was kind of prime time for it.
Mm-hmm.
So my recommendation is a little campfire action.
A little fire pit action, eh?
That's what I'm saying.
I will say, I don't know what the deal is, but I feel like every time I'm by a fire, the smoke is going into my face, no matter which side I'm at. So you really got to play a little dance with the fire, like you're in the caveman days, you know, figuring out which way the wind is blowing so you know to go the other way. And then you think you're good for the rest of the night, but 5 minutes later, it's back in your face and your eyes are watering. You're not having a good time, but you just got to keep dancing with the wind, you know.
I hear that. Yeah. That is one thing that's unfortunate is, like, you know, you have a nice night, but then you smell like smoke and, you know, you don't want to go, like, lay in your clean bed smelling like smoke. So then it's like, got to take a shower, that sort of thing. But,
you know, you both smell like smoke. Both need a shower. One thing can lead to another. Who knows what's going to happen that night? And with that, I know y'all are celibate. We got our tweets of the week. I'll go ahead and lead us off with this one. This kind of ties into our kind of sports segment, segment two. Big Braves fan I am. When they have a big series, really any game, but you really take note when it's a big series, big game going on, when there's a pitching change, the home crowd all has the flashlight on their phone, the stadium turns the lights off, and the whole stadium is just doing the tomahawk chop, something that you see at Florida State, something that you see at the Chiefs games. But when it's at the Atlanta Braves Stadium with all the fans doing it, they usually have a sellout crowd. Everyone's chanting. Lights are off. Phones are flashing. Chop is in full effect. And they're doing this when the opposing pitcher is leaving the field because the Braves batters are rattling them, and they got to bring a new pitcher on, and he's coming into like this crazy environment. It is definitely something that I love watching on TV, something that I want to experience. My tweet of the week is just seeing a video from all different angles of this pitching exchange from the Mets this past Sunday when we were going for our sweep. And, you know, it's definitely something that, you know, gets your skin to, you know, stand up and gets you excited for the postseason. I don't know if you've seen the videos or maybe seen them go around, maybe with the Chiefs or the Seminoles. But what do you got for me this week?
So my tweet, also sports related, but I'm going football. It was a tweet that said, somebody said NFL concussion protocol would have let JFK back in the parade. So, a little dark, but, you know, I think enough time has passed that we can all laugh about it. Or maybe we can't, but I'm laughing about it.
Right. You said you were going football related. I was thinking if you were also going to go, you know, hotel pool related. But
no. That is not my tweet of the week. If it's yours, let us know. But or don't, you know. Maybe that's something that you should keep to yourself.
I don't know. Maybe some foreshadowing with your quote of the week is going to be someone in the pool saying he's pulling his cock out.
No, that wasn't my tweet of the week. Are we ready for the quote of the week?
Let's see it.
Had to go with a little Bill Burr action. You know, one time he said, I'm not going to lie, I am a psycho. Luckily, I get most of it out on stage.